This morning I'd like to look at a particular passage in Galatians and just look at some of the terms that are described in this passage and look at how the rest of the Bible comments about these particular terms. The passage I'd like to look at is Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I don't want to look at all of these terms, but I would like to look at several of them. Some of the ones that maybe we don't think about quite so often. I thought we would look for a few moments at the words joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Look at those four out of these various fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about in his letter to the Galatians. Like I said, the Bible is its own best commentary in many ways. So just looking at what the Bible has to say about some of these terms, I think would be rather interesting in other places. The first one I'd like to look at is one that I don't think I've ever talked about before, and that is the word peace. And it's used many times in the Bible, but people don't, at least I don't, think about it too often. The word peace is found 91 times. That is, the Greek word that's translated into the word peace is found 91 times in the New Testament. There are 42 cases where it is used in the Gospels, where there are four in Matthew. They're all in chapter 10, where Jesus sends out his 12 disciples. Mark uses the term peace once in Mark 5, verse 34. Luke uses the word peace 13 times. The book of John uses the word 5 times in chapters 14 through 16 and chapter 20. Acts uses the word 7 times. Paul in his letters uses the word 43 times. Hebrews uses it twice. It is used to describe the harmony among men. It is used to describe the goal all Christian preaching has. That is, that the gospel is the gospel of peace, for example. So the New Testament idea or the New Testament concept of peace is primarily an idea of wholeness, that by being in a state of peace, we are whole and in communion with God. The gospel stresses to ask God for peace so that we can face any difficulty. In the New Testament, peace is described as the peace of Christ. And it's described as a gift that we receive from God. It is both obtained and it is maintained by our communion with Christ and with God. The whole process of our growth in Christ serves to increase our peace from God. So the more and the closer we come to Christ and to God, the more peace we will have. And the farther we draw away from Christ and God, the less peace we will have. So to obtain this peace that we need and we want and most of us desire, we need to get closer and closer to God. But the New Testament is not the only place that peace is talked about. I'll also give some examples of these words in the Old Testament. An example of where peace is used in the Old Testament is Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So one of God's blessings is peace for his people. So if I am one of God's people, then I will receive peace from God. In Romans 15, verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's peace is provided to each one of us, and it gives us hope. So as we approach and get closer to God, we obtain more peace from God, and this peace and this joy gives us hope. God's peace is abundant. In Psalm 119 and verse 165 in the Old Testament, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. So loving God and obeying Him, obeying His law, provides great peace, and then we do not stumble. God's peace is perfect. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "The steadfast of mind will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." We trust in God, we trust in Christ, and he keeps us in perfect peace. If I'm having trouble being at peace, as I sometimes do, maybe I should work to increase my trust in God. And therefore, as I trust God more and get closer to God, then I will gain even more peace from him. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18, "Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." Obeying God's commands brings peace, and it's peace like a river. It's a large amount of peace, a peace like a river from obeying God's commands and getting close to God, Isaiah says in the Old Testament. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So Christ gives each one of us peace if we are his followers. And he said, because of this peace, we do not need to be troubled or afraid. In John 16, verse 33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So Jesus is saying we will have tribulation. We will have problems. We will maybe be persecuted for being Christians. But Christ has given us peace. And Christ reminds us that he has overcome the world. Romans 1, verse 7, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the Romans, says, "To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul desires that believers at Rome have peace, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians, Paul maybe makes one of the most amazing references to peace in all the Bible. In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, he says that the peace that we receive from God is so incredible that we cannot understand it. It's beyond our comprehension. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." God provides peace which surpasses human comprehension. That's how much peace he provides to us. And it also comes through Christ. In Isaiah 53 and 5, Isaiah said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." So Christ brings us peace, as Isaiah prophesied in the Old Testament. In Acts 10:36, "As for the world that he sent, word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." So the disciples, after Jesus returned to heaven, the disciples preached the good news of peace to everyone who would listen. They call the gospel of peace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith, and therefore we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:14-16, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So here, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians describes peace two times. He describes Christ himself as peace. Jesus himself is our peace. And also, he's making peace. In Colossians 1:19-20, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Christ's blood brings peace. Christ himself brings peace. And finally in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. Okay? And finally, we have the duty of seeking peace. We receive peace through Christ, and we've talked about peace in many other ways. But we also have the duty of seeking this peace, which comes from God. In Job 22:21, one of the speakers in Job says, agree with God and be at peace, thereby good will come to you. So obey God, as we've already seen in other places, and therefore be at peace. In Psalm 34:14, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So we are to do good, obey the commands of God, and also seek and pursue peace. In Isaiah 27:5, oh, let them lay hold of my protection. Let them make peace with me. Let them make peace with me. In Isaiah. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter 3:10-12, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So, in 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter seems to be quoting the Psalm that we just read a moment ago, Psalm 34:14. Let us seek peace and pursue it. Okay. Colossians 3:12-17, the Apostle Paul says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So the Apostle Paul is saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And he also says to be thankful. And isn't that often the case, that being at peace and being thankful seem to go together? So we are called to the peace of Christ. The second word we'll look at here, and look at what the Bible throughout the rest of the Bible has to say here in Galatians 5:22, is the word joy. And the word joy in the New Testament, for the quotations from the New Testament, are actually two different Greek words. And the first of those Greek words occurs 14 times in the New Testament. And the second of those Greek words that are translated into the word joy occurs 133 times in the New Testament. So it is, and also I should mention that they're also translated into other words. Particularly, they're also translated into the word rejoice. So wherever you see rejoice or where you see joy, they're often from one of these two same Greek words in the original manuscripts, and the translators sort of decide which one is most applicable due to the context. So we talk about Christ has joy, you know. Christ, not only do we have joy, but Christ had joy. For example, in his parable about finding the lost sheep in Luke 15:5, it says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. In the parable, Christ is describing himself as the good shepherd in this parable. And he says when the shepherd who represents Christ finds the lost sheep and he lays it on his shoulders, he's rejoicing. He has great joy. Jesus rejoices when he finds someone who has strayed away. And it abides in believers in John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So Jesus wants us to have his joy also. Jesus desires that our joy be full. He bestows his joy through his words in John 17:13-14. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that you may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus desires that we have his joy, but reminds us that the world system hates us. So we have great joy, but that does not necessarily mean that the world loves us. Here Jesus is reminding us that sometimes the world will hate us just as the world hated him. His joy sustained him on the cross. In Hebrews 12:1-2, that we hear this from the author of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus' joy sustained him on the cross. Joy is promised to all of us. Once again, we can see this in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Nehemiah, you remember Nehemiah is all about the return of the Jews from Babylon to Jerusalem. And it says there, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is also our strength, just as it was to the Jews who were returning to Jerusalem from Babylon. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In God's presence is the fullness of joy. So the closer we get to God and Jesus Christ, the more joy we will have. In Psalm 30:5, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. We all will have problems, maybe many problems, but we also will have God's joy. In Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ Jesus the Lord.'" The gospel brings great joy. That's what the angel was announcing at the birth of Jesus, that the gospel would bring great joy. John 15 and 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus desires that the joy that we receive from him be full and complete. John 16 and 24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Ask of God. If we ask of God, we will receive. And why? So that our joy may be full. John 17 and 13, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." And Romans 14 and 17, "For the kingdom of God," we already talked about this with peace, "peace and joy appear here together also. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So the kingdom of God is not only a kingdom of peace, but it is also a kingdom of joy. Acts 8, 5 through 8, we have Philip going into the city of Samaria, and he proclaimed to them Christ. So as the disciples went out and proclaimed the gospel to the known world, as the disciples went out after Jesus had been resurrected and had ascended again, they also brought great joy to all the people who heard the gospel. And we see this in Acts 8, 5 through 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for the unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. The Christian gospel brings joy to everyone who hears it and adopts it and makes it part of their lives. So we've talked about joy and peace and looked at many other passages in the scriptures outside Galatians 5, verse 22, about these two topics. Are there any questions or comments about this? Okay. Let's close then, and we'll be offering the invitation for anyone who would like to present something to the group or become a Christian. So as we let us close with a song.